If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Do you miss me yet?
Hello?
Shawnee, do you miss me yet?
Well,
the answer is yes.
Yeah, sure I do.
Wow.
Yes,
took a lot to get that out of him.
Wow. Boy, it's just not the same.
For me either.
Is it better?
I know it sounds like we're all three together, but I'm over at the TV station this morning, 2501 West Bradley Place, and not in our palatial downtown studios because of the aforementioned Southside Irish Parade that you were just talking about.
Yeah, been talking about it all morning.
I heard, but you failed to mention that you mentioned, what did you say, 100,000 people?
At least, normally lining Western Avenue
there. It's packed. It's always packed. But you failed to mention that Bozo is going to be in the parade. And I don't mean me. I mean the
the actual Bozo.
I mean the actual Bozo.
I knew you would get around to it sooner or later. So
is going to be on. Oh, I'm gonna. That's all I'm going to talk about
this
today.
Bozo.
Yeah, get ready for it. With the WGN TV float.
That's all I'm going to talk about.
Look, if I'm going out there in this cold weather today, I was thinking it was going to be nice like it was the other day.
Oh, Friday was great.
Right?
Yesterday morning wasn't bad either.
Yesterday
it was very mild.
It was also very nice, but
yeah.
I'm all bundled up today. I look like a little green Michelin man today.
Yeah, I played golf on Friday in shorts.
Yeah.
And came in here today with the winter jacket on again today.
Yep. Well, that's
March.
That's this time of year in Chicago. What are you going to do?
Every time I see the Michelin logo, I'm going to think of you now.
I'm the Michelin man. Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Bouncing around.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day. So anyway, there's the South Side Parade, steps off at noon. The Northwest Side Parade on Northwest Highway steps off at noon. The Aurora Irish Parade is today, steps off at 11. So there's plenty of St. Patrick's Day still going on.
And I am here to report that the river is still quite green.
Yeah, that is so beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Lived here all my life, seen it a million times. It still is something to behold when you see Kelly Green, Chicago River.
First time I saw it was when we were working together at the old WCFL.
I remember that.
Marina City building, you know, the office building looked right down
on
the river.
Right on the river, yeah.
And I was at work one day, and all of a sudden, the river's turning green.
The river is turning green, and many of the people on Dearborn Street were also turning green.
Yes, they
were.
For
other reasons, yes.
This was 9 o'clock in the morning, too.
I got a story to tell you about that in a minute. But anyway, let's get things going here. We're, I'm live at WGN TV. Shawnee and Andy are back at the radio station. This is a worldwide broadcast today.
As it usually is.
Yeah, as it usually is. All right. Okay, let's take a little break and then we'll get things started. What do you say?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. It's another Sunday morning, and this is Dean Richards. St. Patrick's Day weekend in Chicago is always a very special one. Started off Friday for us, on the WGN-TV morning news. We had our big party at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park. And, man, that's the greatest. There were like 3,000 people there at 6 o'clock in the morning celebrating with us on Friday morning. It was absolutely amazing. And then, big downtown St. Patrick's Day parade was yesterday. Were you out and about at all, Shawnee, yesterday morning?
Yeah, a little bit. I was and didn't have to go far, and you'll run into a party. but yes, I was, and then met some friends a little later on at a local hangout there
at
in
a
the
pub
neighborhood there. Yes.
At a pub? Were you downing a Guinness?
No, my friend was. I wasn't, but he was.
I enjoy a Guinness every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, an occasion like St. Patrick's Day is a good time to do it.
Yeah.
You may be aware of how many Irish places do we have around the city? You can't count them all, but...
742. I've been to them all.
Okay, you've been to them all. All right.
Well, I've been to them all just yesterday.
one of the very popular places... in my area is Kitty O'Shea's in the Hilton.
Yeah.
Oh, always loaded.
That's a long time hangout.
Yeah.
And it was so conveniently located for the parade as well. You're
absolutely
just blocks away from the parade. But right. I was doing my, as you know, I love doing my Saturday morning shopping. And so I'm out and about pretty early yesterday morning, about like 6:30. In the morning, because I like to go before it gets crowded.
Did you use a green coat to cover up the grocery cart?
Covered my grocery cart with my shillelagh.
With a great big shamrock.
Yeah, with the big shamrock. That's right. There were lines. No exaggeration. Every bar that I drove past, there were lines of people, 6 o'clock in the morning, waiting to get in to, you know, start their celebrations well before the parade even started, you know. So I was jealous in a way. I remember back in the day, I would never do it at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I remember getting started pretty early, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And, the 20-year-olds were out there in force. It was mostly a younger crowd, I will say.
Yeah. Yep.
Talking about the old WCFL, do you remember that we had a guy that worked there named Johnny Kay? Do you remember him?
I remember Johnny Kay, yeah.
Johnny Kay, for some reason, had apparently no enamel on his teeth.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know why that was, but he had no enamel on his teeth. So we all go out celebrating St. Patrick's Day one year. And, you know, what do? You have a green beer. Everybody's selling the green beer. You have a green beer. You drink it. But you know what I learned that day? When you have no enamel on your teeth, it dyes your teeth green.
Oh. So it became even greener.
It dyed his teeth green.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Dyed his teeth green. I remember that all these years later.
I remember. You know, you've mentioned this story before. Yeah. Yeah.
I also, one year, this is another great memory of mine, as we were waiting to be in the downtown St. Patrick's Day parade, the parade floats used to line up north of the river on State Street in order to go down, I guess, State Street, I suppose.
Yeah, they just north of the river, and then they'd go down State.
Yeah, and then they would go down State Street. I remember seeing a guy doing a handstand on the railing of the bridge of the Chicago River. Ugh. He was doing a handstand.
That's real smart.
Right?
On the railing.
On the railing.
Any gust of wind, it would have been all over.
Yep. He would have been down there with all the porta potties that got dumped in there during Chicago Fest of years gone by.
I was on the WFYR float. Many years ago, I don't know how long we sat and waited before we finally got in the parade lineup. And man, it was a clear day, but it was cold.
It's always cold.
One of those cold, frigid St. Patrick's days.
Yeah, the St. Patrick's Day parade generally is pretty chilly. I don't know if this is the same year that you're referring to when we were at WFYR, we would be in the parade. And Harry Volkman was there because he was our weatherman.
Right,
remember?
Right, sure.
We had Fred Winston. We had Lyle Dean. We had, classics. Then Dopes Like Us.
Put us on in the back of the float.
Yeah, actual radio stars and Dopes Like Us. And it was so cold, so cold. Fred Winston pulls a bottle out of his...
bag of tricks.
You might say that. You might say that. And we warmed up a little bit, thanks to Fred.
Uncle Fred taking care of everybody.
Yeah, yes, that's correct. That's correct. there are many, many stories of St. Patrick's Day in the city. I'm sure I've been to the Irish American Heritage Center for St. Patrick's Day. It's crazy and wild, although a little more family oriented, you know, than just straight up going to bars and drinking, you know, drinking. The Irish American Heritage Center is a terrific place. Gaelic Park out in Oak Forest is a terrific place to celebrate today. But, yeah, the big doings are going to be down Western Avenue. It starts at 103rd and Western, right?
Yes, and then goes down to 115th.
115th Street, right.
Let me see here. Parade starts at 103rd, yeah, and then moves down. Yeah, it's 115th.
Yeah.
Starting off at noon, it'll be done by 4. That's your old home stomping ground.
It goes right by my old house.
Does it really? Yeah.
I've asked the parade people if they could take a detour down Artesian Street, which is where I lived, to go by my old house to take a little side detour. But so far, they have not been receptive to my suggestion.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I lived there, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. A lot of good memories.
Well, did you broadcast the parade on your radio station?
On my pretend radio station.
I mean, I could see you out there with the microphone or a tape recorder and then coming back in and utilizing the sound. Right?
I think I might have been a little too lazy for all that.
Well, so you didn't go down there and interview people?
I did not.
You know, raw sound, as we say, and then go in and then cut up the tape and edit it.
I was mostly out looking for corned beef sandwiches.
That's not a bad thing.
That was my objective.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all.
Oh, speaking of food for St. Patrick's Day, out at 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park, you know, we had all kinds of crazy activities going on, but one of the things now that has been become a tradition of that broadcast is I cook for the crowd. You know, this is normally on our morning TV show. I cook every Wednesday morning, but I wanted to do it for the people who came out to the show. So I made three different things this year. One was a Reuben nachos, Reuben sandwich nachos. And it's made like you know, regular nachos on a big old platter with toasted rye bread instead of tortilla chips, toasted rye bread, corned beef, sauerkraut, melted Swiss cheese, and a little squirt of Thousand Island dressing on there. And then normally you would dig in with the toasted rye bread, you know, those little square party rye bread that they sell. S. Rosen's makes them now. I toasted them up and made this concoction, and we served it to the crowd. A major hit.
I'm not surprised. That sounds delicious.
Oh, these Reuben nachos. We have some pictures up on social media of me holding a giant platter of them, serving them to the people. So we had, I made those. I made, I wanted to make something else, you know, kind of, you know, Irishy. So I picked something that was green, key lime pie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now listen to how I did this. I didn't do like a regular pie because that would be tough to do in a crowd situation. But I took these little phyllo cups. You know, have you seen these in the grocery?
Oh, yeah.
In the freezer? It's like phyllo dough, that really thin, crusty, flaky, you know, dough. But these are made into cups, and you can make quiche with them. You can make appetizers. What I did was I took my key lime pie no-bake filling recipe, which is delicious, by the way, and I put those in the little phyllo cups. So, you know, it was like key lime pie finger food.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so we had a big giant tray of those. We did some corned beef sandwiches made Chicago hot dog style. So it was a corned beef sandwich with the green relish, onions, tomatoes, sport peppers, all the stuff that you would put on a Chicago style hot dog. We put it on these little mini corned beef sandwiches. Major hit. major hit. Now, it may have been because people were drinking at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's some nice things to soak up some alcohol.
These are all good soak-em-up foods.
Good stuff.
All good soak-em-up foods. But if you want the recipes for any of those, we posted them at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. So, St. Patrick's Day is off on a great note.
By the way, we're getting snow downtown here.
No way.
Yes, we are.
A lot?
It's a steady snowfall.
Yeah. Yes, they said we were going to get it,
and they're right.
Yeah, we got it,
and they're right.
But we're not going to have. I think I heard Tim Joyce's forecast earlier because you know I hang on every word of your credible news.
Oh, I know you do.
I don't miss it. I could practically repeat it back. That's how closely I pay attention. I could practically repeat the whole thing back verbatim. I believe I heard Tim Joyce say more on the northwest than anywhere else.
Yes, that's right. Actually, way northwest toward Woodstock and Rockford there. Heavy, wet snow across that portion of northern Illinois. And we got a special weather statement about slippery travel in that area could be taking place. But again, that's McHenry County and Winnebago County, that area up in there. And then up into Wisconsin, could get a couple of inches up there.
Is this going to be an all-day thing?
Move out later in the day.
All right.
Move out later. And then just clear skies overnight, a little bit warmer tomorrow, and partly sunny, partly cloudy for Monday. But unfortunately, no temperatures up in the 70s like we had the other day.
For people who are dressed like the Irish Michelin man, yes. you're going to get a little bit of snow on your parade today. We'll be right back after this. From our text line, before our far-flung forecast for today,
yes.
Shwani.
Yes.
It's snowing in Lyle.
Okay.
It's snowing in Lombard. Dean, it's snowing in Deerfield. Barrington getting hit with lots of snow and it's sticking.
Yep.
It's snowing in Bolingbrook. It's snowing in Riverton and Springfield. And also a text this morning that says, "You two are idiots."
Well, that comes every week.
I don't know which two they're talking about, though.
That one comes every week, doesn't it?
I like to think that we're all idiots. All three of us are idiots. I'm a little...
Is that all it said?
I'm a little hurt that one of us was excluded. One of us was excluded from idiotdom. And I do mean dumb.
I think maybe one of us actually sent that text, perhaps. And it wasn't me.
I know somebody who didn't was not included. All right, it's time for our idiot-proof, far-flung forecast. Our weekly compendium of fascinating, although idiot-like facts and figures. We call it the far-flung forecast, and we call him Dave Ashwan.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. O'Richards, and happy St. Paddy's Day weekend, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices, because we're going down to the Lone Star State, Texas, to an appropriately named community for the St. Paddy's Day celebrations, Shamrock, Texas.
Shamrock, Texas.
Shamrock, Texas is
Hey, partner, going over to
Shamrock, Texas. It's in Wheeler County.
Give me one of them green beers.
They probably do have green beer because they have a big celebration there for St. Patrick's Day. Population 1,789. And it's named as a Shamrock because of one of the early people that lived there, a man by the name of George Nickel, had an Irish mother.
I'm George Nickel, and I want a green beer.
And he said, "My mother always told me to depend on a shamrock to bring me good luck." So, holding true to that, he suggested Shamrock, Texas.
Why do we assume that that guy talks like this, by the way?
He's been typecast.
I also enjoy...
What if that guy doesn't go, what if he doesn't talk like this after all?
Yeah, what if he came from, like, Boston or Maine or something?
Yeah, we shouldn't We shouldn't put that on somebody.
We should not.
That there's anything wrong with it, but but you know, I don't like when people think from Chicago that we're all these Dems and Does over here either. We shouldn't categorize like that.
Well, I've been through Shamrock.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
One of the reasons. Well, maybe the.
Do
reason.
They all talk like that?
Actually, not all of them. Some of them. But who's Shamrock.
That, who's that guy driving through our town?
That's just like the guy in the Andy Griffith episode that gets off the bus, and they're all in Floyd's barbershop. There's a stranger.
I was picturing it more like...
It's getting off the bus.
I was picturing it more like the campfire scene in Blazing Saddles.
Okay, I'm not going any further. Not there. But I have been through Shamrock. Here's why.
Anybody got a match?
It is a major destination for Route 66 people.
Oh.
It is right dead center in the middle of Route 66, and it has an historic building, a old style gas station, and
wow,
with Art Deco design.
Oh, nice.
And I told Ashley here that I'm going to send her pictures that I've taken over the years that we'll put up on the website, as we do from time to time for the far-flung forecast. But the building was built in 1936. It had a restaurant in there called the U Drop Inn.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Now, when I was there...
Did you get anything free there?
No. No, I did pay.
That's too bad.
I ate there in 1993, my first Route 66 trip. With my dad, we did it in 2009. The cafe had closed, but I understand now happily that they've reopened once again.
Nice.
So if you're driving through Shamrock, Texas, you can stop at the U Drop Inn.
You drop in and have a green beer.
Now, Shamrock, on a serious note, though, for just a second, though, Shamrock is in the area where we've seen these very high winds and wildfires activities. There is a fire hazard warning for Shamrock today, but other than that, sunny skies and a high of 68. It's 29 there right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, a little bit chilly there.
Yeah.
A little bit chilly.
Yep.
Here's an update off of our text line, Schwanny.
Another name. What do they call us
now? Snowing in Roselle. Snowing in Joliet. Western Illinois, Dixon, 1.3 inches of snow.
In Dixon. Wow. Okay.
And it in parentheses says, love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we like those.
They didn't call us names or anything.
Well, not yet, no.
Not yet. Okay. Give me
time. The show is young. Yeah. Snowing in Palos Park, Elgin, big time snow, sticking to roofs, cars, and lawns.
Yeah, it would, to lawns, because it's the wood, because of the moisture there.
Yeah, and also 847, you guys are still idiots. All right, well, thank you. I can't say I disagree with you. We'll be right back after this. 9:43, Dean Richards, St. Patrick's Day weekend, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Week in Health, and our pal Dr. Jeremy Silver joining us with the latest. There may be a few hangovers this morning, Dr. Silver. Any advice? Is there a really good way to get a bit of the hair of the dog that bit you for the next day after?
Well, if they invented a time machine, Dean, you could go back and redo all those questionable decisions.
Yes,
but in the absence of that, there isn't truly a cure. I know that there are companies out there that pitch the IV vitamin kind of remedy, and I think truly it's the fluid that that fixes it, because you do get dehydrated. Alcohol releases some hormones that cause an increase in urination, and then there's other effects from the dehydration, such as headache and nausea. And of course, the alcohol itself is toxic to cells, so that makes you feel sick. A little bit of ibuprofen, as long as your stomach isn't irritated, may be helpful, but particularly pushing the fluids and getting your stomach full of some food to sort of sop up any remaining alcohol
can be
helpful. So, crackers or toast, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I'd always heard the rule to, you know, have, you know, water or a sports drink or, you know, something like that to, in equal numbers to whatever kind of alcohol you may be consuming just to fight off that dehydration. So, you know, good luck to anybody who's going to be dealing with that. There are going to be a lot of celebrations going on today. This story about Gene Hackman and his wife just is horrific. The whole thing is horrific. And, you know, more details were disclosed this week that it was actually Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy, who apparently died first from hantavirus at the age of 63, that she died. And then Gene Hackman later at the age of 95, with dementia, died several days later. What, explain hantavirus, and I'd never heard of it. Are people in danger of getting this? Is this something that's fairly common?
It's not common, and yes, I love Gene Hackman. Just on a personal note, and so hearing the story of how things played out during the last days, it's just. It makes you feel bad. But in terms of hantavirus, 864 reported cases in the U.S. since we started surveilling in the 90s. So that's not a ton of cases, but the average mortality rate is almost 50%. So that's a high case fatality index. It's spread by rodents and rodent urine and feces, rodent poop, if you will. People become infected when they breathe in the air that's contaminated with the virus. So you have dried urine and feces that get stirred up, and then the particles get into the air, and you can get infected that way.
Do there have to be, you know, lots of mice? I mean, you know, people get a mouse in their house or, you know, something like that every once in a while. Is that dangerous, or does it have to be someplace that's really infested with mice and a great deal of the feces and urine?
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but just thinking logically about it, there's so many mice, you know, and there's a lot of mice living near people, and this is so rare relative to other illnesses. My guess is it's probably you need a nest. You need a certain burden of excrement in order to generate the aerosols, the aerosolized particles necessary to then actually breathe in a requisite amount to then get you infected. So, and of course, the number of viral particles or the number of bacterial particles will sometimes dictate whether or not you become really sick or fight it off. So long-winded way of saying, my guess is it's in the numbers that's going to get you.
Beware of that, I guess, you know, wherever you may be. I don't know how rural a setting this was. I know that they were living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. It looked like, you know, it didn't look like a house that would be infested, but I guess you never know. You know, where those things could happen, but what a horrible ending for both of them. A horrible story that ends the life of both Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy. Measles update. All I keep hearing are stories about this measles outbreak that, you know, I guess is a little more prolific in some parts of the country than others. Where are we with this, and how are we doing with it here in Illinois?
Illinois has yet to see any cases yet. From the last that I heard, plenty of other states have had reported cases, not us. But it's likely a matter of time because this outbreak continues to grow. 300 cases almost at this point in time, and two unvaccinated people have died, one being a child. And just to remind your listeners, measles is a highly contagious virus that's in the air, spreads easily when people cough, sneeze, or breathe. And it's preventable, which is just the sick joke of all this, Dean. It's fully preventable with vaccination, and the vaccine's safe. It doesn't cause autism. All that stuff has been debunked. And so we living in the modern age that we do, I think the only way out of this is to vaccinate. So really that's truly the answer to an outbreak is the vaccine if you have it.
Yeah.
In this case, we have it.
Yeah, I don't want to get political about this, but if you have questions about it, ask your doctor. Ask a medical professional about this, because there is so much that's going on right now in this highly volatile political world in which we live regarding healthcare right now. Really, the best thing that you can do, right, is ask your doctor for the best advice on this. Am I correct on that?
Right. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you had a legal problem, you'd talk to a lawyer. If you had a problem with a tooth, you'd talk to a dentist. And so if you have a medical problem, of course, I'm biased.
Yeah.
I would suggest have a conversation with a physician who went to medical school.
Yeah, it all makes good sense to me. Let's take a break and we'll come back with more with Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you've got questions, you've got comments, 312-981-7200, 981-7200, when we return. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, and also Art calling in from Oak Park. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. I may be 4 years old. I had measles when I was a little kid 75 years ago. Am I still immune, or do I need a vaccine?
Yeah, when we were kids, we all got the measles vaccine. It was required back then. That's a great question.
I'm not talking about the vaccine. I'm talking about getting the measles.
Oh, you actually had the measles then. Okay.
Well, of course. Everybody as a little kid, 75 years ago, I had the measles.
Okay. Well, not all of us had the measles, so, you know, but many of us, almost everybody did get the vaccine back then, was required. Let's let the doctor answer and tell us, are we still immune from back then?
Yes, sir. You have something we would call presumptive immunity, meaning we presume that based on your exposure to the virus, you have immunity. Now, that becomes a little more of a nuanced discussion when we look at aging and without drawing in your medical history, you know, any medical problems that you might have. So my suggestion is, talk to your physician about your current situation. You might benefit from a booster, or you might be fine. Chances are you've probably got a significant amount of immunity still left over.
Now, for those of us that did not get the measles back in the day, but did get the vaccination back then, I remember, you know, in the schools, we were, you know, you lined up, everybody had to get vaccinated. And that was many, many, many years ago. Same thing? Are we still covered with that, or should we all think about getting boosters?
Yeah, if you've had two doses of the booster, you've got like a 97 to 99% immunity. One dose is still in the 90s in terms of your immune ability. But if you there are certain folks between 1957 and 1968. Those who were born in that time frame, who the CDC says should really consider a booster. But the bottom line is, talk to your physician and sort that out on a personalized basis.
Yeah, who knew vaccines lasted that long? because it was a really, really long time ago. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always good to talk to you. He's the medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. We'll talk to you next week. Doc, thank you so much.
Dean, thank you. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you. We'll update the news with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medical Newsroom coming up after this. Would you like to hear the snow report off of our text line?
Yes, of course. And are there any other names that have been assigned to us this morning?
Boy, if only PJ Hoff had this valuable tool of people sending in weather reports.
Andy, do you know who PJ Hoff was?
I don't.
Schwanee?
Yes.
Would you care to do the honors?
PJ Hoff was really a pioneering weatherman who worked for
TV weatherman
yeah. On Channel 2, I believe.
I think you're right.
And he would, more or less a trademark thing, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but a trademark was a pen and a magic marker.
How about that for technology?
To draw on a board of some sort, a blackboard or a whiteboard.
That was like a clear, wasn't it?
Yeah. So if it was going to rain,
like plexiglass,
he would draw the umbrella, you know. And so what's it going to do tomorrow, folks? Well, it's going to rain. And then he'd draw an umbrella and then put raindrops underneath it. Or yeah. if there was snow, it would be a snowflake or a sunny day, a great yeah. big sun right. out there.
So here's the Bob Ross of weathermen.
He was sort of the Bob Ross of weathermen.
Okay.
Yeah. Very true. Okay. And then Harry Volkman was the next big deal weather guy. Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you, you remember Harry
Volkman? I remember Harry.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there were John
Coleman. A gentleman's gentleman, by the way, also.
Oh, he was the very
wow.
best.
John
very,
Coleman, yeah.
Very best. John Coleman was a superstar weatherman.
He would throw stools through the back of the weather forecast. He would just, you know, the chroma key, he would chuck a, you know.
He was a character, that
there,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. None greater, though, than the great Tom Skilling.
Oh, no. No way.
Legendary.
Is he going to be out there today?
He is not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, no. He's retired, Schwanee.
I know, but...
And he knows whether to go out in and whether not to go
and
out
whether,
in.
And whether, yeah, exactly.
If you noticed,
he knew about this weather a week and a half ago.
Way before he retired, if you'll notice, if there was a blizzard or something, Tom just happened to be in Hawaii then or... Something like that, which is where he spends most of his time right now. Anywho, from the text line, wow.
People, okay, what well, now?
People are using interesting language on the text line.
I see.
847 area code, absolute blank snow, bleep snow in Woodstock right now.
Yeah, there okay. would be. Yes, yeah. exactly.
We'll put the bleeping in. Let me see here. Garfield Ridge, home of Weber's Bakery, had their St. Patrick's Day parade yesterday. Garfield Ridge had a parade yesterday? I didn't know that.
Well, apparently they did.
I thought, just because it's on the text line doesn't mean it's true. I've got four or five weather political conspiracies going on the text line right now, too, that I'm guessing some of them are not true. Snowing in Sycamore. Please announce the Northwest Side Irish Parade that
we
steps
did
off
that.
At noon.
We did that in the newscast today.
You did it, and I mentioned it last hour. That's right. Mm-hmm. Getting snow in Antioch right now, about an inch on the back
it.
Deck.
Yep.
Let me see what else we have. Snowing in Vernon Hills. Snowing in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. All right. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. On the text line, somebody said that P.J. Hoff was also a podiatrist. Had you ever heard that?
No, I'd heard of another weather person that we had here in Chicago whose name escapes me right now, but he was a podiatrist. So maybe P.J. Hoff was also. I don't know.
I would love that I could have my bunions checked and have umbrellas drawn on them at the same time. We'll be back after this. 10:13, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, Southside Irish Parade, Sunday morning on WGN. Boy, you want to talk about a WGN tradition. The guys that created this song, Southside Irish, which is now, you know, legendary here in the city, group called Aaron Moore, they started coming on WGN to sing their song on Roy Leonard's show. I don't know. That must have been in the 80s, I would think, maybe even before. But they would come on and sing that song. And when Roy retired, I asked permission if it was okay if I stole one of his traditions. And we've been carrying it on since then. Aaron Moore, the guys, normally come in and play the song live for us. They're not able to. They've got a couple of other things going on, as you can imagine. This time of year is a very busy time for them, but they've got some personal things also going on right now. So they were not able to join us in studio, but I wanted to give them a big shout out and, let them know we're thinking of them and wish them a very happy St. Patrick's Day for tomorrow. Do you guys remember that? Hearing Aaron Moore on
Roy Leonard? Sure.
On the old Roy Leonard show?
Oh, absolutely. In mid-1980s, I think.
I would guess.
Sure.
Didn't we have them live with us at when we did the air climb, right? Out on the...
At Presidential Towers.
Yeah, Presidential Towers. That's what it was. I think we had them with us.
Yeah, we did have them with us. Yeah. Those guys have been great friends of the show ever since we took it over, and that's a long time.
I also think they may have been one of the first live bands to come in after the
pandemic.
You know, pandemic, you know, the COVID restrictions were lifted.
That's possible.
We may have had. I think they were one of the first bands you had in afterward.
It's very possible. I remember it was weird having people back in the studio again after how long did we
a year.
You know, we were like solo without in-person guests, and we did everything on the phone. I wore a hazmat suit for an entire year. If I didn't have my hazmat suit on, I had a beekeeper suit on. Very fashionable.
They're going to put that in the Museum of Science and Industry.
They should. they should. It'll easily be as interesting as watching chickens hatch. I wonder with all this bird flu and chicken crisis that we've got going on right now, are the chicks still being hatched over there, I wonder?
I imagine they are. It's been fascinating to see stories now about how the bird flu has gotten into certain types of animal food, pet food.
Yeah.
And cats have been affected by this. You know?
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
That's not good.
No.
We need, just the world is crazy right now, can I just say?
Mm-hmm.
I can see why people come to us on Sunday morning, sadly, for a piece of sanity. That's how crazy
they come here for sanity?
They come here for some sanity because that's how crazy the world has gotten.
Did you ever think it would come to that?
I have not. I have not. A lot of people, though, checking in this morning, saying how much they're enjoying hearing the Irish music. Here's the 630 area code. Thank you for making me laugh this morning. It's 80 degrees and sunny here in Florida.
We're not laughing, we're crying now.
Okay. Yeah.
That's nice. I like when people listen from faraway distances. Hello, Florida. Hello.
I hope they're listening in Shamrock, Texas this morning.
I hope they are, too.
Where we had our far-flung forecast last time.
I was listening. I heard it.
I heard it, too.
That's right. You hang on the every word.
I hang on. Shawnee, you think I don't pay attention to what you're saying. And honestly, most of the time, I'm not. But
well, you know, when you're here, I look over at our closed-circuit camera there. And during the newscast, you are just, you're laid back in the chair.
Yeah.
I've heard reports of sometimes there's been snoring coming through the studio wall there during the newscasts, or you're checking your phone.
I do have a lot of important messages coming in from time to time.
People calling us idiots, right?
For some reason, on Sunday morning, I have quite a few Nigerian princesses telling me that they have
$1 million.
Yeah. So I have to respond to each and every one and give them my Social Security number because that's all they need.
Or someone texting you saying, hey, I'm stranded somewhere. Can you wire me $10,000, please?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? You say that like there's something wrong with that.
Or you missed a toll.
There's a lot wrong with that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
There's a lot wrong with it.
That's crazy talk. Andy,
yes.
Baseball in Japan. How cool is that?
Yeah, not bad. The Cubs actually had an exhibition game this morning. It's being replayed right now, but it's over. 4-2, they beat the Yomiuri Giants in an exhibition game. And believe it or not, Tuesday is the season opener.
Get the heck out.
First pitch a little after 5 a.m. Chicago time on Tuesday. They'll play the Dodgers Tuesday and Wednesday. And then head back to Arizona. They'll continue spring training. And then they actually open up on the 27th against the Diamondbacks in Arizona.
When is the home opener here in
Chicago? It's the first weekend in April.
Okay.
Yep.
I want to know just so I can have my snowblower ready. And
And get the portable heaters ready to go and all that stuff. Because that usually says baseball.
I don't know how many times. I don't know if you experience this because you're up in the palatial press box.
Mm-hmm.
But schlubs like Shawnee and me are sitting. Shawnee, we may have actually done this where we go to opening day
and sit out there and drink ice cold beer in the ice cold weather while it's ice cold snowing on us?
Well, I was there not long after an opening day many years ago when a good friend was in town and wanted to go to a game. It was as lousy a weather as you could want.
Oh, yeah, it
cold,
always is.
Rain, wind. We got into Wrigley Field and left after about three innings. It was that miserable, and just about everybody else did too.
Yeah, see, I went to a couple of opening days before I got into in a radio here in Chicago. I mean, that was in 1985 after the Cubs disappointed me greatly in 1984. I was in the bleachers with my good friend Rob Saper and his dad and my dad. And one of our English teachers, who actually allowed us to go and miss school to go get to camp out at Sport Mart on Dempster to get tickets for opening day.
Oh, that's fun.
And we sat in the bleachers. It was nice out there. But then I went to the one in 98 as well, right after Harry passed away.
Mm.
And it was nasty cold in the bleachers that day.
I was at that one, too. Yeah. Right after Harry passed away, I was at that one. And oh, baby. It was.
I was in the center field bleachers, and it was really, really cold.
It was cold. But you know what? Somehow you can't beat it, though, right?
No, it's great to be at the ballpark again. And, you know, living in Chicago my entire life, pretty much, you understand what, you know, late March and early April are in Chicago. It could be 70 and sunny. It could be 35 and snowing.
There's just something about walking up those stairs into the park.
Yeah, first time you see it.
And you get that splash of green and, you know, it's Wrigley Field, and it's quite something to behold.
Yep.
And then 2 minutes later, you can't feel your toes.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but you know, there's nothing better. I've said this before when I even went in getting into the pregame and doing some broadcasting myself. Getting to the ballpark early for me was the best. Sitting in an empty ballpark, just kind of soaking it all in and taking in the sights and the few sounds that there were at the ballpark. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than it.
I know Schwanee's pregame ritual is being outside the ballpark trying to sell his tickets.
And peanuts.
Yeah, kind of. We were thinking about crazy weather.
Who needs to? Who needs to?
We're talking about crazy weather on opening day. Opening day for the Cubs in 1982, they were snowed out.
Yeah, I think we got snowed out in 03
also.
They
got snowed out.
Crazy.
Lake effect, a classic lake effect snow moved in, and there was 8 inches on the ground in like an hour. They got snowed out there. I believe that was 82, Andy.
Yeah. Good fun. Good memories. We got some more good memories in a minute. The man who now does the voices of Porky Pig and Daffy Duck for the new Looney Tunes movie that's out talked with me in an interview the other day that's really fun. We're going to share that with you when we come back in a minute. Among the new movies opening in theaters this weekend is one called The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. The great Looney Tunes legacy is alive and well with Porky Pig and Daffy Duck and a lot of your Looney Tune favorites. For decades, the voices of Porky and Daffy were provided by the great Mel Blanc. Now it is a Canadian actor, Eric Bauza, who does those voices, and we talked to him in a Zoom chat.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them in shoe commercials or fast food commercials. We've seen them even in, reboots of shows. We've seen them alongside your favorite basketball stars and even actors as prolific as Brendan Fraser, but we've never seen them by themselves. We've never seen them in their own 2D 90-minute story. And not just them, but just Porky and Daffy, which was a very classic pairing of the Looney Tunes duo. We've seen Duck Season, Rabbit Cleveland. We've seen Coyote and Roadrunner. We've seen Sylvester and Tweety. But here we are, 90 years later, with The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. And I think it couldn't have come at a better time.
How do they fit into the world of animation now? It's changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
In content, but I mean, Pixar has changed the name of the game. It's changed so much since it all started, obviously. How do Daffy and Elmer still fit in?
Well, you see, what's great about the Looney Tunes and anyone that has told a Looney Tunes story, no matter what year it has been, They always stay true to who the Looney Tunes characters are, and wherever they are or whenever they are is the thing that changes, and is usually a backdrop. It's usually just like,
yeah, so what? I have an iPhone in my hand, but it's not the focus of the movie. I'm the focus. Daffy Duck.
You know, it's always going to be Daffy. It's always going to be Porky.
It's always going to be Bugs Bunny, for that matter, Doc.
And I think that's why we love them and why we come back to them. It's because they're 90 years old. It's almost like talking to your oldest relatives at this point. We know them like our oldest relatives. And it just goes to show the kind of caliber of work that Mel Blanc left behind. You know, we still laugh when you hear,
oh, be a boy, you know, or ain't I a stinker?
You know, it's these are all things that I grew up watching, and I never thought I would ever get paid to say these things.
Why do you think that this has maintained for these 90 years? So many animations have come and gone, but these guys are hanging in there after all these years.
I think it's what's funny is funny. What was funny then is still kind of funny now. Like your favorite song, your favorite knock-knock joke, your favorite comedy album. You know, we know the lyrics to our favorite song. We hear it in the radio. We download it. We pay big bucks to go see it in concert. And it's just something that will always be there for us, like these characters. This is our safety net, our security blanket. And they're still good enough to tell a new story with. And I feel like that is the takeaway from this movie, is that when people go see this, they will be so elated to see that it's just their old friends again. But if it does prove to be a very big success, then I can assure you we will be seeing more of these characters for generations to come.
So talk to me about your own personal story with this. You must pinch yourself if you grew up with these to think that you are now the voice of Porky Pig and Daffy Duck that Mel Blanc did so beautifully for decades and decades and decades.
Dean, you're right. It's like we are winning the lotto. I can't believe that I get to be Daffy Duck. It's my favorite voice to use when I'm in the drive-thru at the fast food restaurant. I'll tell you that much.
And then they see me and they're like, who the hell's in the car there with you? It is Mel Blanc, like I said. He is I like to call him the blueprint of these characters. And I'll always be thankful for the hard work that him, not just him, but Bob Clampett, who was one of the main directors back in the golden age of animation, Chuck Jones, Friz Freleng, Tex Avery, Bob McKimson. These are all names that you kids should look up on Google and study their work. Study their work if you're a big fan of animation, but even just acting. You know, another voiceover artist and sketch comedian that I work with, Phil Lamar from Mad TV, who does tons of voices on Futurama, and is kind of like a modern-day Mel Blanc in his own right. He was asked who his favorite actor was, and he said Bugs Bunny. And I was like, that is a really good answer to a question we've all been asked. Because, yeah, Looney Tunes have always broken the fourth wall. They've always just been that much grittier than your average Disney cartoon. And I think that's why they attract a certain kind of fan, you know? I think that's why I stuck with them. I would have the shirt even if I weren't the voices of these characters.
So did you, learn to do the voices? Or is this just something that you always did and it happened to work out?
I think a little bit of both. Definitely when you're a kid growing up, you are just that. A kid thinks that he could do these great voices, but it just sounds like a kid doing voices. But as you get older, of course, your voice changes and so does your sense of humor. And I think it was in high school is when I started doing impressions of not just the characters, but of other people, like my teachers, which I probably shouldn't have been doing, getting out of class, getting in trouble. But I was always rewarded by the teachers by, if I submitted my work in on time, I could do the morning announcements over the PA system.
Uh-huh.
And that was my audience. That was my introduction to, if I get a laugh, there's something in me that wants to make people laugh more. So, and then I started, again, kids, there's this thing that we used to have called VHS, and I used to record the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show on VHS every Saturday, and I would rewind the tape back, and I would practice and listen, and I would draw, too. I was a cartoonist. I would draw from the frames that I saw on television, so they really did shape who I am now, and to be in this seat speaking with you is... I knew I did something right, I think.
Well, there's only one way to wrap up an interview with the guy who is the new voice of Porky Pig, and I think you know what that is.
Oh, I think I know, Dean. And the that's all, folks.